when the Crimson Dynamo finally assured me, well, I knew.
You want some more?
Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of something at Mohawk College.
We're not sure yet. Hey, Google it.
Google it. You'll find out.
And as always, we are here to accentuate the positive.
And eliminate the negative.
Yes. And to help us do that.
Speaking of negative.
we're joined by our illustrious producer, Shecky Feldstein. Shecks.
It's all about the yin and the yang, you know. I fill in the gaps that you leave gaping for me.
It's true. Yeah. It's very true. Yeah. Mm. Listen. Well, we're great to be back on the radio today.
We're great to be back on the radio thing, you know.
I think it's at this point
grateful. It's already derailed.
We're grateful to have any airplay.
We talked about it before we pressed record. We go, let's try not to muff up.
Yeah.
Is it muff up?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And look what happened.
I heard you like it when you muff up.
That's one of the cleaner words Walt has used for any.
It's very true. Very true. Yeah. Listen, we are here to talk about comics. It's Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's new this week.
It's like
a little Christmas for all comic book lovers out there. We are here to champion the local comic book community and talk about comic books and talk about all the great things that are happening in the comic book.
Happening in the comic book industry.
You know, you guys aren't making this any easier for me.
But that's not our job, Chris.
That is true. You know what? I did find out that apparently my students like to listen to my show.
Yes.
So maybe that's why I'm a little tripped up tonight.
You're all nervous.
I was all nervous. Yeah.
So when they got their cell phones out in the middle of class, Chris, do you think they're texting about you and about like the last episode of Comic Culture?
I hope not. I hope they have better things to talk about than me in this show.
You know teenagers. No, they don't, Chris.
No, that is true.
Hey, listen, we're delivering high-quality entertainment.
High quality.
Yeah, even beyond that, we're delivering pertinent, relevant comic book knowledge.
That's true. We are.
And news.
I don't know how much. I don't know how pertinent this comic book knowledge is, but, you know, we'll go with that.
You know, I pity the individual who relates to us, all right?
That is very true.
Hey, I don't know which book to start reading. Wait a minute. I'm going to listen to that Comic Culture show. They'll fill me in.
That guy Chris who picks like two or three books.
Yeah, I'll
man.
Just listen to what he
I'll
says.
Listen to what he says. Oh boy. I don't know why sales are dropping in the greater Toronto area. Okay, listen. We do want to talk about new this week. And Shecky, do we have a sponsor for new this week?
You know we do, Chris. The last Comic Culture of November, moving into the holiday season.
It is true.
It is
brought to you by The Expendables number 37, which will feature the likes of Charlie Sheen, Tom Arnold, and a very misdemeanored Gary Busey.
Oh well, yeah.
lots of teeth.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's all he has left now.
Mm.
Besides his dignity. No, I think that's gone too.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to talk about new this week. One of the ones I do want to talk about is Gotham by Midnight. This is obviously
Gotham by Gaslight.
It's Gotham by Midnight.
Gotham by Gaslight
was one of the very first. It was sort of like a what if kind of Elseworlds they used to call them back in the day. Whereas what if Batman existed sort of in the Victorian era?
Right. Mm. Steampunk Batman.
Not quite. No, not quite.
Didn't they do one where it was like if Superman were in like the,
Sherlock Batman,
the SSS USSR?
Yeah, that was Superman Red Sun.
Red Sun.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that was what if Superman had landed in what if the you know little Kal-El had landed
in
Moscow
little, like,
in Mother Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, Ivan, look. Look what's falling from the sky.
Yorgi, go get tractor to get meteorite.
Dig him out.
Yes. Maybe we sell him.
Yes. You go make some cabbage for him.
Okay.
Listen, now that we've totally embarrassed ourselves, this is Gotham by Midnight, and this is by Ray Fox and Ben Templesmith.
Ben.
Now, Ben, this is an interesting book for DC, because this book, it really looks like it should be a Vertigo kind of book, but it's not. It fits in with the regular series, but the art style. Do you remember 30 Days of Night? It's the same artist as that, Ben Templesmith. So the art is not your typical DC kind of art. It's a very stylized version. I like it. It's just I don't know if I like it for regular mainstream DC comics.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. So this is Gotham by Midnight, number one, available at your local comic book shop today.
That's right. All right, next one up, we got Rocket Raccoon, number two by Scotty Young and Jean-François Boileau.
Ah, Jean-François.
Yeah, so Scotty Young does the words and art, and Jean-François does the color art.
Does the enunciation.
enunciation. You know what? It's a great-looking book. If you like Rocket Raccoon, it's a fun book. Scotty Young has a great kind of cartoony style to him. And, of course, no Rocket Raccoon book would be Rocket Raccoon
complete without Rocket Raccoon in it.
Without Groot.
Groot
make an appearance in this book. Great looking book. Rated T for teens, so you know what? It's a good looking
book.
No
Rocket Raccoon book would be complete without Rocket Raccoon.
It's
He just picked up on
it. Yeah, I know. He's yeah.
That's all right.
Sorry.
He's young.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a great looking book. It's called Rocket Raccoon. And it
you know,
is,
does that have Rocket Raccoon in it?
Well, is that Rocket Raccoon book you're holding in your hands?
And it's available at your local comic book shop today.
All right. I have two more this week. Normally, I only have three, but I have two more this week. I couldn't choose. I was torn between two of my children. Wasn't that a movie like Sophie's Choice or something like that? Or I don't know. Transformers versus G.I. Joe, number four. And this issue is done in the style. They're kind of trying to make it look like it was done in the style of the original 1980s comics.
Right.
They've yellowed the paper to make it look like it's like that.
I give
still
them those nice 80s mustaches in there.
And they've got they've got that kind of what's that pulp paper kind of feel to it, like newsprint.
Maybe the factory where they print those books. So that they just have smoking staff. That's
yeah,
a smoker's
could be.
Lounge,
yeah, could
you know?
Be. It does. Yeah. It does have that kind of quality to it. But yeah, I like the way it looks, and
it does look very retro. Looking at the pages,
and it's just a fun book to and I like. Hold on, I gotta read this one part here. Just easy there, grabby hands.
Spoiler alert.
It's not really a spoiler alert. I just like how it says here, special thanks to such and such and such and such for the loan of their collections of Transformers and G.I. Joe memorabilia for art reference.
Nice.
I like how they're totally just going on the whole toy kick and realizing that that's where the fun is.
That's where it's at.
See, now,
that's
Chris, where
the fun but mama,
is. You and your nerd that's collections where the fun that is. Go beyond comprehension.
Yes.
You could get a special thanks too if you lent it to some artist.
I really
you know?
Could. Yeah. I really could. Sadly, I would never lent it out to anybody because I'm too much
wouldn't.
Of a nerd.
Hey, G.I. Joe versus Transformers number four is available at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Next up, we've got this. Do you remember Madman? Madman was a comic that's been around for quite a while now. It was actually created by Mike Allred, who then did a bunch of work for Marvel and DC and all kinds of other stuff. But his original kind of big thing was this comic book called Madman. Really clean lines, really cool looking artwork. It's just a really good looking book. Now, Madman has come back, and this is called the Madman In Your Face 3D Special. So what I like about this, it is actually 3D, so it comes with a pair of 3D glasses.
I see your little spectacles there, the red and blue.
Yep. But man, what's even more awesome about this book is that it has a number of pinup art pieces of artwork in the whole book.
Whoa, pinup! What kind of pinup?
Well,
are you
like
about?
Not like nudie stuff,
pieces
but like
of what?
Like it's just got pinups.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right. Wow. So it's got like the main character all done by different artists.
Yeah.
But like the different artists is amazing. So we've got like Marcos Martin, Paulo Rivera, Jay Lee, Ian Bertram, Andrew Robinson. Clive Goodyear, Paolo Leandri, Becky Cloonan, like Bob Burden, who did Flaming Carrot comics back in the day. Like, it's just got a myriad of different kind of artists, and it's just a cool book. Now, it's not the cheapest of books, I'm going to say. It does have a $10 price tag.
Oh,
but it's also very thick.
It is very thick. Yeah. There's a lot of pages to
I like
this
it
book.
When it's thick, Chris.
I've heard that about you. Yeah. There's
more substance.
At least 75 pages to this book.
At
so
least.
It's a big book.
So maybe there's like 76 is what you're saying.
At least 75. Wow. Yeah, I can't count so good.
So I have a question about this, though. This is like a very 3D book. I've been looking at it when you flipped, and it seemed very intriguing to me because I couldn't really make it out when you're holding
it away from me. Yep.
Do you need those 3D glasses to be able to read every page properly?
You don't need them, but to really enjoy the
book.
Not to read the page,
but to enjoy the picture.
So now, what happens if you go to, say, you know, the secondhand market? So, you know, lots of comic book stores have like a bargain basement bin or a back order. Those goggles are going to be gone. Your goggles are missing.
The goggles do nothing.
Yeah. So now you can't read the flipping book.
It's very true.
You can't enjoy
it to the
fullest.
Read the book.
You can still read the book, but it's not. You're not going to enjoy it nearly as much as if you had the glasses.
Yeah. So you know what? Those little gimmicks almost fall short in like the secondhand, like the future market, right? Where some kids already
take
them out.
Yeah, but people,
young man, people
don't. The companies don't sell for the future market. They sell for today.
And you know what? What I will say is, this is one of those. Would you not agree with me, Walt? Where this is one of those instances where. let's say this book in 10 years now becomes a hot book because it has all these artists that nobody ever heard of. You know, and all of a sudden everybody wants this book. Won't it be one of those things where, well, does it come with the glasses
with
still
glasses
attached?
With glasses, twice or three times as much.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
It almost needs to be polybagged with the glasses.
Madman is available at your local comic book shop today. Check that out, along with many, many other great new releases.
Perfect. All right. Well, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and we'll get back to lots of comic book industry news. Shecky, what do you got lined up for us now?
You know what? I feel like a little bit of pump up music.
Pump it up.
I feel
pump
like
up the jam. Pump
I feel like
up.
We're getting into the holiday season.
All right.
We need to be pumped up just a little bit.
With some Christmas music?
No.
Oh.
With some Lone Gunner music.
Okay. Let's hear what you got going.
The Lone Ranger. Mario Silver, away! A fiery horse with a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Mario Silver, the Lone Ranger. Fearless Indian friend Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again. Hail Silver! Away!
Very good. Hey, is that, that guy, does he talk like that at home? Hi, honey, I'm home.
Honey,
what's
get me.
Dinner? Hey, why don't you and I go upstairs, honey, and talk politics? I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what to say to that. And then, well, if he does start saying, hi-o, Silver,
hi-o,
away!
Silver.
What exactly would that mean?
Honey, let me put my, what are those, let me put my chaps on first, sweetheart.
Assless chaps.
Hello.
That's what they call them.
Is that what they call them?
That's what they call. That's actually a product name.
I don't
that's
know where
those,
you're hanging
that's
out there,
cussing,
Shecky,
but I'm just.
Well, hey, no cussing.
No cussing.
It ain't no cussing, cousin.
All right. Listen. We have to talk about industry news. Shecky, do you have a sponsor for us for industry news?
Absolutely. Industry news brought to you by 3D comic books and poly bags. Because let's be honest, if you can't see the cleavage in 3D, what's the point?
Well, that's a very good point. Very, very good point.
Remember in school, Chris?
The cleavage in school?
No. Remember in school in geography class? Man, you're a little bit younger than I am. But
okay.
In geography class, you used to have those glasses and they had the metal frame. And you used to have topography maps.
Yeah.
And you'd have the glasses holding up, and then you'd look in them and look down on them, and then you'd see the mountains coming up at you.
Yes, I
remember
that.
That's what they need for comic books.
That would
be
awesome.
It's like you're reading a Power Girl. Whoa!
Speaking of mountains coming up at you.
Holy moly.
I would buy that.
I know you would.
Yeah, I would buy that.
Restricted airspace.
We got to talk about the Star Wars #1 launch party.
Oh,
okay,
Chris.
So, Walt.
Chris,
so as we know,
Chris.
As we know, Marvel is now part of the Disney conglomeration that also owns Star Wars.
Yeah.
So
how did that you know, that Monday morning at Dark Horse?
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, the Monday morning at Dark Horse, you know, the news is announced, the Monday morning at Dark Horse, it's like, the meeting, it's like, all right, boys, I think we're losing Star Wars.
Yeah.
But it took them a while.
It did.
It took them a couple years, two, 3 years.
Yeah.
But finally, it's happening. What should be happening is Marvel obviously has let the contract run out, and they're taking Star Wars back,
right?
Because it's all part of the Disney umbrella,
right?
Now.
Right. Well, they might not. Do you think maybe Disney wouldn't allow them to re-sign the contract with Dark Horse?
Oh, you couldn't.
I don't know that. I don't know how that works.
Well, I'm sure what
happens if Disney owns Star Wars and Disney owns Marvel, it's going to be a natural fit for Marvel to do.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But I'm saying it didn't happen right away because Dark Horse probably had a contract.
Right. But yeah. I'm saying, but maybe they didn't. Maybe the contract. So contract ended end of this year. But Disney was. It's not like Dark Horse said, "Well, we don't want to make
no."
Anymore.
I'm saying they knew they were going to get taken away from them.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But it goes back to Marvel, who had it in the first place.
Right.
Remember back in '77, the Marvel. I don't ever get. I mean, you know what? You and I have collected comic books for a long time.
Yeah.
The thing I don't get is that. Remember that Star Wars number one?
Oh, it had two different prices.
Yeah, you had the 30-center, and then you had the 35-center.
Yeah.
A nice copy of the 30-center will get you $50.
Yeah.
A nice copy of the 35-center will get you $5,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Never made sense to me. Just for now, like a little numerical number. On the
but
top.
Wasn't it like, didn't they, wasn't it like an accident? Like they published the
35-center
by mistake?
No, I think at that time in comics, there were like price variance tests. Like, those were the years of inflation.
So right.
So 25 to 30, 30 to 35. Those were. The late 70s was inflation was high, and what they had to do was to test the willingness of kids to buy comics.
Yeah,
so let's say, I don't know, the Austin, Texas area would get the 35-cent variant cover to check out demand
Didn't they also put like a British pound or something like a price on it or something like that?
That was in England.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying like, they printed it with many different like
But like on the cover you'll see like 6 pence or 12 pence or whatever the heck it was. But so finally it's coming back. You and I have talked also before on this show about the importance of comic books.
Yes,
the comic book medium.
Yes.
Was holding the torch, carrying the torch.
Oh, yeah.
For the Star Wars franchise.
Yep.
In that interim of the first three movies, and the second three movies.
Because you know what, for a long time, Star Wars, like Dark Empire, which was produced by the Dark Horse. That was like one of the few real Star Warsy things that you could buy. I remember there was a time when I was a much bigger Star Wars fan than I am now. I don't have the money for it anymore now, but I was eager to buy almost anything at that time.
And yeah,
I remember getting excited about like a bookmark. Hey, they've got bookmarks that have Star Wars on it. Like,
wow.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
But anyway, so listen. So coming January 14th to your local comic book shop. Your local comic book shop might be having a Star Wars launch party. Not lunch party. A lingerie party. Now that would be a completely different...
Can we combine?
That would be great. You know? That would be great.
All you can eat.
Yeah. All you can eat Star Wars...
Edible lingerie.
All you can eat lunch lingerie launch party.
That's right.
And
the MC would be none other than...
Chewbacca himself.
Yes.
So Star Wars number one is being, produced by Marvel Comics and it's releasing on January 14th. So they're trying to make a big party out of it. So if a store wishes to partake in said party, they can have all kinds of incentives and variants and lithographs and cake toppers and all kinds of cool stuff.
Okay. Here's my advice to local comic book shops and, comic book fans that go to local comic book shops.
Okay.
Make sure your local comic book shop does this. Because you know how local comic book shops are, some of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. Most of them.
Very skeptical.
I don't know if I have the time.
Most of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of them. I don't know. You know, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't know. How much do I have to order?
Yeah. Do I really have to do this?
Anybody
can show up?
So, Walter.
What if nobody shows up?
You think a Big B Comics would be doing something like this?
I don't know, Marty. It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. You're right.
But, you know what? Here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to have a Star Wars party.
Yes.
Okay? So then you need to have cake.
You have, and when people walk in, so when people walk right into the shop.
Yeah.
First thing they got to hear is doop 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 doop.
Exactly. That's right. That's right. Now, I have a jazz version of all those songs.
Oh.
You know, which it can be jazzed up a little bit. So if you want to, like, you know,
did Krantz do it?
No, but it's kind of crancy.
Crancy.
Listen, and then you need to have a cosplay section.
Yes.
You need to have,
you need to buy like four Chewbaccas.
Four Chewbaccas. and like 50 Leias.
Those are the drunk guys.
You need to have lots of Leias dressed up in the gold bikini.
And the slave Leia outfit.
Slave Leia outfit, that's right. Yeah. And then you need to have a big Jabba in the background.
Yeah.
Who's just like giving orders to everybody.
There's always one or two of those.
Is he like the, is he the judge of the costume contest?
Yeah, that's right.
No. So, yeah, this has to go down. This has to happen. This has to happen at your local comic book shop because it's all about, remember, the comic book experience isn't just grabbing your comic book and reading it.
That's right.
It's living the whole kind of
it's a
the
lifestyle.
Community.
It's
yeah,
a
the lifestyle. And what better place than your local comic book shop to throw a nice big Star Wars Welcome Back to Marvel comic
and
party.
You know what? I'm going to hold that to you then, Walt. If Big B Comics doesn't throw one of these things, you're in for it.
Well, you don't. There needs to you be have to follow through with your promise.
Photographic evidence on the Big B website. You need to do this.
It will be there, but you have to follow through with your promise about that Leia outfit.
All right.
All right.
I'm getting into shape. I'm telling you, I just got to wax the bikini zone, Walt.
Oh.
You don't want to see it without the wax bikini.
Can we go to a musical interview?
Speaking of Chewbacca.
Is there any mouthwash?
All right, listen. So Star Wars launch party this coming January 14th. Mark it on your calendar. Lots of cool stuff happening, and there's going to be incentive covers and comics and all kinds of cool stuff.
Lots of cool stuff. All exciting right. day.
I'll be there with my lightsaber on.
Yeah.
Walt, you talked to me about this first Aquaman book. Tell me about this.
Oh, Chris, this was kind of cool. Last week on that Heritage auction site, which I believe is the largest auctioneer of comic book pop culture memorabilia around, More Fun Comics number 73 from 1941.
Yep.
It's a cool book. It's a cool comic. Very hard to find.
Yeah, I would imagine. From 1941, that's 70 years ago.
It's it features the first appearance of Aquaman.
Okay, cool.
But not only that, it also in the same book features the first appearance of the Arrow.
The Arrow?
Arrow, like the Arrow.
Green Arrow.
Arrow.
It's just called Arrow.
Yeah.
Not Green Arrow.
Oh, I don't know now. Pretty sure it's the Arrow. Might be Green Arrow. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's Green Arrow. I mean, Green Arrow.
I wasn't
like,
trying to stump you.
Yeah,
I was just
no, Green Arrow. But the thing, though, is it's... It got – so these comics are graded out of 10, right?
Okay, yeah.
And this got a 3.5 out of 10. It had pieces of tape on it. The page quality was terrible.
It is. I just Googled it.
Yeah, and I know. You know why I said Arrow? Because of the show?
No, right? Yeah. I just want to make sure. Yeah.
And so it was terrible condition. 3.5. It got $38,000. And the reason I wanted to talk about it.
$38,000?
The same book 18 months ago, a 4.0, which is a better copy.
Yep.
Got $3,800.
Okay, hold on a second here. So you're saying that a book.
18 months ago.
18 months ago, a book that normally would sell for.
A 4.0 out of 10 graded copy. Yep. 4.0, meaning just on a scale of 4 to 10. Think about, never mind. It was a 4.
Okay, yeah.
How else can I put this?
Yeah. Think about guys walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know? And so this, and it got $3,800.
Right.
This is a 3.5 with pieces of tape, and it got $38,000.
That's craziness.
18 months separate.
Ten times.
I'm trying to think. What has changed?
Well, the only thing that I can think of is the Arrow, the Green Arrow TV show, is very popular right now.
Yeah, but that was on.
It was on. Big then.
But it wasn't as popular.
Yeah,
even I wasn't watching it.
Yeah.
18 months.
I think it's got to be an Aquaman related thing, or like the Justice League. All the DC announcement,
the Justice League, the films. Aquaman, the whole thing there. But which got me to thinking how crazy the back issue comic market is with in relation to. Movie, television, news.
Yeah.
You know, it's just asinine the amount of interest comic books generate when something like a movie is announced and stuff like that.
Right. So case in point, remember what happened? So here's a spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
For Guardians of the Galaxy, the very end of Guardians of the Galaxy. If you haven't seen it, turn down the radio or go grab a drink or something for the next minute. But at the very end of Guardians of the Galaxy, we had the appearance of Howard the Duck.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, everybody went crazy for Howard the Duck. Mm-hmm. Howard the Duck, you couldn't give those books away. before. Yeah. And now all of a sudden they're worth money.
Yes.
Again. They were worth money before.
Yeah.
They completely plummeted, and now they're worth money again.
Yeah. The first time you really saw the power and effect of that really was probably, not the first time, but one of the, you know, like really, really eye-opening times was when Thanos appeared at the end of...
Yes,
and
all of a sudden Iron Man 55 was
huge
money.
My goodness. Yeah. So, just amazing. So, it's... I don't know where we're going. The thing, though, is there was on Comic Book Daily, they talked about this. There was a great post on Comic Book Daily.
Okay.
And let's talk a little bit about comic books, comic book collecting, comic book investing, comic book speculating.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
I just want to talk about – did you mention the 9.4?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, buddy that bought the 4.0 18 months ago.
Yeah.
He's going, wow, man. Yeah, like I paid $3,800 and now mine's worth over $40,000.
Right,
that's
right.
Cool.
It's awesome.
Well, the greatest collection ever found in comic books was called the Mile High Edgar Church Collection.
Yeah.
And this is like the most pristine, beautiful collection. Just having a Mile High comic is like just, you know,
big
there,
deal. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So. The nicest known copy of Morphun 73 is the Mile High copy, which is a 9.4 out of 10.
Right.
Which is like a really hot guy walking down the street.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So two and a half years ago, somebody paid $75,000.
$75,000
for the Mile High copy, the best known copy of this book.
Yeah.
Now, considering a 3.5 rag just sold for $38,000. I'm thinking that thing is like half a million dollars minimum, right?
The guy paid $75,000.
Yeah, wow. So that's a good return.
Two years' investment. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all right. That's what I wanted to make sure we told.
Where the heck was I before that?
You're going to talk about something to do with retails and people buying stuff, but
So there's a great post on Comic Book Daily about collecting and investing. And remember we were talking about the how Marvel announced their movie schedule until 2019 or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah.
And then DC announced their movie schedule until 2020, wherever the heck
it
was.
Right.
Well, what's been driving, you know, we just talked about the Thanos thing and whatever. What's been driving speculative comic collecting in the last 4 or 5 years are these little Easter Bunny things at the end of movies.
Yes.
You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, yes.
And, so now that the studios have kind of gone ahead and made the big reveal, this is our plan for the next 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like, well, is that now taking all the speculation out of investing in comics? Like, how can we now find that little gem that 4 months from now some news is going to come out about and it's going to be
But you know what? Here's what's going to happen.
We have
all those movies coming out. And we have all those movies coming out, and so we know what those movies are. So now people are starting to buy up comics based on those movies.
Sure.
However, at the end of those movies, there's going to be some sort of announcement or some sort of Easter egg in each of those movies still about some character or something that's going to happen for the next one.
Right. Yeah, like a villain,
or
a sidekick.
But, exactly,
or
say for this Aquaman thing, I think this is even like, so you see, say, the Howard the Duck thing, right?
Uh-huh.
So now Howard the Duck spikes, right? Because you saw a direct relation to that. With DC, you see the Batman Superman thing, the Wonder Woman, everything that gets announced. Now you've got this Aquaman book that's just jumping, and it's almost like the pre-speculation spike. So,
yes.
You know, people are saying DC is in it to win it.
Yeah.
They're going
to
compete with
They're
Marvel.
They're in it to win it.
In it to win it.
They're going
to
compete toe to toe with Marvel as best they can. Maybe
toe-to-toe.
They won't. They might not win it.
Toe to toe.
They might not win it, but they're in it to win it.
They're in
toe-to-toe.
It to win it.
Toe to toe.
So everyone's saying, you know what? They're going to make an Aquaman movie.
It's
going to happen.
Yeah.
You have to just
going
to
have
repeating.
A camel in it.
Is there an Echo in here? I don't understand what's happening. So people are probably pre-speculating, saying he's going to have his own movie. I may as well jump on this book now before it gets announced he's got
Damn
his own
straight.
Movie.
Yep.
Damn
Am
sure,
I wrong?
Sure. No, you're not wrong.
Why are you echoing wrong. And the laughing at me with the thing?
That's just a natural reflex. Sorry there, Shecky.
All right,
listen.
You know what, though? I will go back. And Chris, correct me if I'm wrong.
I know I will.
Yeah. I believe about 18 months ago, you and I and Shecky started heavily playing the Aquaman theme song.
Yes, we did.
I think
and,
that's
and
why.
And now all of a sudden,
It goes up
Aquaman
tenfold.
Aquaman goes up tenfold. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right.
Wow. You know what? You know what? I think what has to happen in comics is that there needs to be a comic book about us, and then, you know, all of a sudden we can start publishing our own comics, and then we'll have, you know, then we'll be worth lots of money, right? Isn't that the way things work around here? No?
I'm not sure the way
things
work
around here.
Yeah, we can
call it, like, Comic Book Dudes, and it's a TV show, and it's about us idiots just talking about speculations and buying books and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that'll never fly.
There's no TV show like that.
No. All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. You got something good for us there,
Shaq? You know, it's a little rare gem. You know, I don't think any of you guys have ever heard of it, but I'm going to play it anyway, just for the fun of it.
All right, let's hear it.
Aquaman, Aquaman, no one greater than Aquaman, king of Atlantis, king of the sea, where the danger is, that's where he'll be, always defending you, yeah, you and me, Aquaman. Can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
You love that Aquaman song.
I love
it. Have you guys ever heard that song before?
Oh, yeah.
Once or twice.
That was recorded down at the Hamilton YMCA. A
couple of bunny hoops of mine. You know, Shoeless Jake Wonder there.
The Hamilton YMCA.
Sure was.
Oh, boy. I used to go to that.
Young
I used
man.
To go to that place.
All right, listen. Words.
We need to talk about industry news, continuation. No. Shecky, what do you got for us?
Yeah, we're catapulting into the second edition of Pole industry
vaulting.
News. Yeah. Sea vaulting. Really, because of our sponsor, Aquaman Flood Sealant. When it snows like Old Man Winter and becomes an Indian summer, only the Fish Talkers products can protect you.
Nice.
So now, nice. Just to recap for this Aquaman stuff. Expand a little more. As a legendary price guide advisor,
legendary.
Walter.
The legend. The man, the legend, the myth.
That's
yeah,
right, that's
yeah.
right. Would you recommend people to start buying Aquaman-related first appearance characters? Like, for example, the first time you see Aqualad.
Sure.
Or the first time you see...
Mira.
Black Manta.
Yeah, Mira.
Yeah.
Black Manta,
you know,
Aqualad.
Tusky the Walrus.
Well,
I am the Walrus.
Have you followed those trends, though, like lately? Because I know that this...
I actually did a Mira Undervalued Spotlight about a month back.
On all these,
I pick one at a time, there, Shecky.
Okay, but I'm saying the Aquaman universe, like the universe of
you know what,
man
not,
that
I'm
is
not,
Aqua.
I like to spread it around a little bit in my.
I'm just saying though, are
I don't
they
concentrate on one
okay,
character?
Walter.
And the next nine spotlights on that character.
Walter. Sorry. All I'm asking is, are they all getting equally inflated right now because of the popularity and the
There's
spec?
Only one thing getting inflated in here.
Yeah. Your ego.
His patience.
Aquaman.
Why do I bother?
Remember when they were roasting Arnold Schwarzenegger on, I forget what roast it was, probably on Dean Martin.
Dean Martin, yeah.
And I don't know who it was. Who's the guy that makes fun of everybody? Don Rickles.
Don Rickles?
Yeah. He comes up there and he goes, Arnold Schwarzenegger is to acting what Raymond Burr is to pole vaulting.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know, because he's too young.
Yeah, Raymond Burr.
Yeah, he's a heavy set young man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was in the original Godzilla movie.
Yeah. And he was Ironside,
and
of course.
And he was Ironside, yes. The lawyer in the wheelchair.
And he was in...
so not a pole vaulter. So the point is not a pole vaulter.
That's right, yeah.
And later on, he was in Rear Door.
Is that like a male-only cast film?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, listen, let's continue on with industry news. Walter, one of your favorite subjects and mine, Wonder Woman. Well, she has finally has a director named for her movie that's coming out.
Yes.
This is going to come out in 2017 on July the 23rd.
June the 23rd.
This is going to be directed by Michelle McLaren.
So Michelle McLaren.
Michelle McLaren is going to be the director, and she has done other TV shows such as Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Walking mm-hmm. Dead. So she's done a lot of high-profile...
She's an accomplished director.
Accomplished director, yeah. And however, this will be the first time she's done a feature film.
Now, hold on here.
Okay,
now, hold on here.
Holden, yeah.
Now, hold on. Back this up, baby.
Yeah.
Back
beep,
this truck
beep,
up.
Beep,
bring the
beep,
caboose
beep,
back
beep,
to
beep.
Me.
Okay.
Okay? Let's go over these things right here. Let's dissect
okay.
this. Let's go into the minutiae. Okay.
Wasn't she one of the Supremes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was my
yeah.
favorite. She was one in the middle.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, sorry.
And Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead.
Yeah. Do you want to say that one more time?
Okay. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead.
Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah.
What's the tone of the Wonder Woman movie going to be? I'm going to say it again. Breaking Bad, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead.
Is it drugs?
Well, I don't know.
Zombies.
But it's going to be not pretty.
No, it's
going to
be dark.
It's going to
be dark.
Yeah. You're getting a director that's directing some nasty-ass stuff.
Okay. So here is my problem with this, and this is a great point you're making.
Because we're used to the Wonder Woman TV show.
Yes.
Inner satin tights.
Fighting for your
fighting
rights.
For your rights.
Makes the axis
red,
fold.
Red, white, and blue.
Yeah. So we're used to the Linda Carter Wonder Woman, the...
Inner satin tights.
Yes, inner satin tights.
Fighting for our rights.
That's right, yeah.
Well, let the man finish.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Here's the problem with DC again.
Here's the problem with DC.
They can't make a movie that is lighthearted and fun and comic booky the way that we think of comic books.
Like the way Marvel
Marvel's doing.
You know, Marvel
right?
has a certain niche market right now, and they own all of that property. The property where there's the fun, the witty, the Deadpool-type banter and cute. DC only has the dark, gritty, Dark Knight stuff. Superman's getting kind of darker.
Yeah.
That's why Superman failed. See, the first Superman with Chris Reeves...
Yeah, he's on a first-name basis.
Yeah, with Margie Kidder there.
Yeah, Margie. Hey, Margie, cut me a switch.
Was this before or after she slept in the ditch?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Before.
Okay.
Well,
which
before.
Time she slept in the ditch.
Because he saved her from the ditch.
That's
remember
right,
when,
yes,
yeah. So that was more Marvel than Marvel.
Absolutely,
that
yes.
That was fun. That was witty. That was beautiful.
It was light.
That was awesome. Yeah. Best movie ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
My number one comic book movie is the 77 Superman.
All right. That's
when was that made? Sorry?
77. But hold on.
How many years ago is that?
But that is my
doesn't,
point
doesn't
as
matter.
Well.
Doesn't matter.
That
okay,
is my
okay,
point as
good.
Well. Is that works. I didn't need... Okay, I'm going to be sacrilegious here.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Better not.
And I've seen them, okay? So you can't say, you don't watch movies.
Or you saw them, but...
Yeah, I've seen them. I don't like any of the Owen Nolan Batman movies.
Well, I don't
is
think you
Nolan?
Actually saw them.
Is it
I don't
Chris
think
Nolan?
You actually
Chris
saw
Nolan.
Them.
Yeah. Owen Nolan.
Yeah,
Owen
no, the
Nolan.
Hockey player made the films.
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. Chris Nolan. Nolan?
The Chris Owen.
Who knows? No. The Chris Owen Batman movies.
Yeah, okay. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So they're all like too, they take themselves too seriously. It's like, give me a break. Come on. Relax.
Okay, so I completely agree. They are good movies, but because Batman, ever since Frank Miller.
I don't know if even they're good movies. Okay, they're
ever
good
since,
movies.
Ever since the Frank Miller and Killing Joke, Batman's been this, really dark.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. Brooding. Everybody loves him because he's so dark and brooding.
Right.
And now, but you know what? I get that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But not every flippin' character in the DC universe has to be this
like
dark,
that.
Brooding character. And
that's why
so
the first Superman was so magical. And these other ones are,
yeah,
man,
it was terrible.
Man.
Terrible. Yeah. Terrible.
No, the last one was okay.
No,
it wasn't.
I didn't like
it's
it.
Terrible. Hey, 17 minutes to like lift a mountain or something like that. What the hell's up with that?
What?
I don't know, where the thing started penetrating the earth.
Yeah, that's
And he's down there forever. It's like, do this or don't.
Okay.
Like, don't make me suffer watching you sweat for like 22 minutes.
Okay, but here's also
penetrating the earth.
Yeah.
Here's also the other thing.
You ever tried that?
Not for 22 minutes, I haven't.
You usually give up after 5?
I'm not a marathon runner here. I'm a sprinter.
Iron Man. I am Iron Man.
I think that First of all, I don't think we need to see 22 minutes of penetrating the earth in any movie.
Yeah.
In any movie.
Because you know drugs are involved there.
Absolutely, yes. Now,
pills.
Pills. Yeah. Pills that help things.
He had enhancers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think that we need to have every single movie be dark and brooding from the DC company, right?
Thank you.
I completely understand and agree, but it seems like that's the trend that they're sticking with because it's kind of been working for the films that have been working. It's been working for the films that have worked, like Batman.
Films that have been working.
So that's what I'm saying.
It's been working for the films that have worked.
But listen to me. The films that haven't worked, like the Green Lanterns that are just kind of popcorn cheese, they didn't work, and they even had a star like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
leading it, right? But, so they only have the market that works, which is dark for them. So
dark
they,
is Batman.
They, but they may
Batman
as well stick
dark.
With that and try and make everyone a little darker, a little edgier.
See, here's the problem.
Here's
I think
problem.
Shecky just got onto something.
What's that?
Okay.
Here's Wait, whoa.
He's
admitting something? Yeah. Whoa.
Here's the thing.
This is a highlight.
Here's the thing.
Press record
now
right now.
From Marvel, they have to set a cinematic theme for the universe.
Right.
So they're going toward the Justice League, which has Batman in it.
Right.
Well, they can't have a 1966 Adam West type Batman in the Justice League and change it all around.
True.
They
right, got to right.
go with the kind of the direction and their number one franchise is Batman. So does that mean that they got to give us Debbie Downer on the whole flipping DC universe?
It's
going to be like
not.
Some sort of like the JLA, Wonder Woman, Flash. It's all going to be.
It's not Debbie Downer. It's just it's much more. Gritty, it's much more dramatic, and it's like emotional.
Okay, hold on. Here's what I'm going to say about this. So far, in the Arrow TV show,
Arrow
is a little bit dark,
yeah,
but it's very well done.
Right,
Flash,
that's TV though.
It's TV. Oh. However, the Flash is a little
so popcorny.
A little bit dark.
I'm watching it. No.
It's fun,
Chris. If you call The Flash dark...
It's a little bit. There's still the tones.
I'm going to lean over this recording studio booth.
No, it's still
no,
a little...
No, don't do it.
I'm going to steal your microphone because I don't think you should be able to talk.
I think it's a little bit... It's a little bit, but for the most part, it's light and fun. So why is it that they can make a Flash show that's light and fun and have, but yet they can't make a Wonder Woman that's...
You want to know how? Gotham on Mondays is very dark.
Super dark.
It's gritty.
Dark.
Yeah. And you know what?
Gritty.
I love it. Flash, it's like that guilty pleasure. Like it's fun, it's lighthearted. You don't have to like really sit down and think about it. You don't have to care too much. It's just entertaining. It's entertaining.
It's fun to watch though. It's a fun show. Like it's
entertaining, but it's not like it draws you in. And man, that story of the Gotham, with let's say a couple spoiler alert with the Penguin, and he does that thing and the thing and the thing. You know what? The Flash
that's
is just
a spoiler alert right there. Yeah. He's got the thing and the thing.
So what I'm going to do now is
I was going to watch that.
So I'm going to compare it right now.
I got the thing.
I'm going to compare it right now and say Gotham is dark, Flash is not, but Gotham is probably three times the show that the Flash is.
Three times.
Sorry.
I don't know.
But it is.
I don't think so.
DC
does
dark.
I would much rather watch Flash than
All right, anyway.
You know what?
Guys.
DC stands for dark content. I don't care.
You heard it here on Comic Culture First. This gal, Michelle.
Gal Gadot.
Michelle McClain.
Oh, I think the actress is Gal Gadot.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
We're learning.
This girl, Michelle McLaren.
Yes.
She's going to take Wonder Woman to a place I don't want her to go.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
All right.
All right, listen, you know what? I think we need a little bit of a Krantz cleanse there.
A cleanse.
All right?
Cleanses.
We need to have some cleansing after that. It was a little too
dark.
And
it's got
to
be Krantz.
It's got to be a Krantz cleanse.
And it's got to pump you up.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hear it.
Chris. You were dancing to that like you had a Woody.
What?
Like in like the station wagons. That
oh yeah, yeah, with? The old Woody station.
A Woody,
wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what'd you think I meant?
I think meant the little doll from Toy Story.
Hey,
oh yeah.
You know when you're a kid driving in the back seat or whatever, and you're with like your buddy with, or your or your older brother who just pummels on you because he beats you mercilessly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, Woody, no punchback. And he absolutely gives you like a four knuckler right in the side of the face.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the Woody. That's the Woody.
Right,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, listen. What do we got up next? What are we talking about?
Let's talk about this, Chris. Now, I mean, you mentioned earlier that you're not the biggest Star Wars fan as you were before.
No.
But you're still a huge Star Wars fan.
I am. That's
true. Well, you know what? He may not be a Star Wars fan, but he's a huge nerd still.
No, I was a big Star Wars fan back in the day. I'm not so much anymore.
Are you still a big Leia fan, though?
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. I mean, I still have Star Wars statues and stuff at home, so I'm still...
You still got that Leia pillow?
Of course, yeah. Pillows.
Pillows.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to talk to you. I wanted to get your opinion on this. So it's been announced that the new Star Wars trailer for the new movie is coming out this Friday.
Right.
But the cool thing is, and the stupid thing is, it's like they've announced 30 movie cineplexes.
Right.
Theaters.
Okay.
Like
so,
the theaters.
So,
theaters.
The exact locations.
Theaters in all of North America and the world are going to have this, what, 2-3 minute
trailer to the new Star Wars movie.
To the new Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
And they've announced and they've listed the 30 cineplexes that are going to have the trailer to the new Star Wars movie.
So,
and I'm reading this and going... Wow!
So if you're a big fan of the movie, then of Star Wars, then you're going to go to see whatever movie that trailer is going to be playing.
No matter what.
That's right.
Do you walk out?
But
you
No, you don't.
You could.
What do you mean you don't? So it's like a
rom-com.
And there's like, hey, it's a rom-com. And there's these four guys going, in, hey man, how you doing? Hey, look bad. Let's go see Jennifer Aniston there. Yeah.
I'm just here to see the trailers, man.
Hey, get off me, man.
Okay.
See the trailers.
Okay. So
okay.
Hold on.
Hey, buddy. Why is everybody with like a girl? I don't know, man.
I don't know. There's five of us.
Hold my hand, all right? Just hold my hand.
There's five of us guys, though. Man, we don't pair up evenly.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say about that.
All right.
Back in the day. I was, you know, this is something I thought I'd never talk about again.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but you know, for the sake of radio,
yeah. No, you're not.
About
you're going to talk about it.
The show must go on, Chris.
There is no
Bear
curtain.
All.
There
Bear
is no all. Curtain here, Chris.
Yeah.
So.
Look into that camera, Chris.
I'm doing it. Back in the day when the Phantom Menace was first coming out after the long drought of Star Wars movies, they did a similar thing, except it wasn't quite as restricted. They went to all whatever movie it was. They said that they're going to have a trailer to a movie
Phantom Menace.
For the Phantom Menace to whatever movie it was, and it was just in all of those movies.
Yeah,
so it wasn't restricted to certain cities or anything like that. However, I did go see Jingle All the Way with Sinbad and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, no, that's what you should be saying, Arnold Schwarzenegger, because it's a great movie. If you say it's a terrible
film. You can tell that kid's not 30
That
yet.
Is a great film. Yeah. That was him jingling all the way, Turbo Man for life.
Mm. It's a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I went specifically to go see the trailer for Star Wars The Phantom Menace.
So what you're trying to tell me, though, is you stayed for the movie.
I did stay for the movie, yes. Because I figured I might as well watch this.
And you thought it was fantastic, didn't you?
No, I thought it was
terrible. Don't answer. Don't answer. I'm going to ignore everything you're saying. Don't answer. Don't answer.
So, now what my worry is, okay, they've announced 30 theaters. Is there going to be like some sort of massive, like, are they going to be scalping tickets at
these might
things?
Be, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on.
Might for be rioting. It's if for
that's what I'm saying.
But guys, it's for a trailer. Can there really be that many hard up people wanting to see?
Oh, damn.
Hold on.
Listen to me right now. This is the technology.
Hear me now and listen to me later.
Yeah, correct. See? This is the technology age. The day after, it will be on the internet.
The day after? Who waits for the day after?
Birth control pill?
I don't know, man. You know, you're on a hot date, Marty.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey Marty,
I don't know what that feeling's
hey,
like.
Marty, the day after, It'll be on the internet.
Who cares? Yeah. You got to be living the now, man.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not a now man.
I have to say I'm partially in agreement with Marty. Yeah. However, I think there are enough people out there. Okay, so for example, like we have Toronto.
Yeah.
Toronto and Vancouver for all of Canada.
All of Canada. That's bogus.
You don't think that we like
Star Wars?
Okay, you know what?
I'm going to tell you right now. They're going to open this up to iTunes. It's going to be on iTunes like a week later. They're just saying this they're saying this preliminary list now to get a little bit of a surgence to come out and see it. But they're going to open it up because they're going to find out people are filming it on their little camera iPhones and posting it online.
Yeah.
So they're going to open it up a week later. So it may cause a little bit of a rush to theaters.
Okay, but
it's more of a theater plot than it is a film plot.
But you know,
I don't know.
You know what? This is also a great excuse to go to a movie. If you're a Star Wars fan.
Right.
So, Toronto and Vancouver and, you know, 28 other cities across the United States. If you're even remotely much of a Star Wars fan, you might decide, hey, I'm going to go see this movie tonight because I want to see the trailer.
Right.
However, I don't like the way it's, like, there's only two cities in all of Canada.
That's BS. You get Cleveland.
It is.
You get Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, like flipping Nashville. Salt Lake City.
Yeah, because I'm sure Salt Lake City is going to be a great place for all those Star Wars fans out there. Yeah.
How do you know, Chris?
You know, you're right, I don't know.
Do you know those salty Lakers? Do you know them?
I don't.
Anyway,
kind of exciting news, I guess. But anyway.
Hey, likewise, though, I'm going to tell you right now. This is Friday, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
American Thanksgiving is this Thursday. Black Friday is Friday. Everyone knows about that. This weekend is the biggest U.S. shopping weekend in the entire year.
Yeah.
Jurassic World. They have just announced only in the past few days that this is like a complete, 100% thing.
Uh-huh.
And they have announced they're releasing the trailer during the Turkey Bowl football games, the NFL games.
Oh.
So they're paying like millions of dollars to release the trailer.
Do Canadians get it, though?
If you actually have the football games for NFL games on Thursday, you will get it as your commercials.
And then, trust me,
the Friday after, you will get them on YouTube.
Right.
And it is the full theatrical trailer because Jurassic World, which is, it's 20 years in the making since Jurassic Park. So it's on the same lines, you know. It's big news as well.
Listen.
We got to talk about Christmas stuff.
Let's talk about Christmas. We promised a Christmas segment for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
This is where Chris and myself, we're like veterans, crusty veterans. Of the comic book retailing world. We know what people want. You know what? Next to Santa, it might be us.
Yeah, I think
if
so.
Santa ever gets sick.
Santa actually, he's often, you know, asked me his advice for
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what do I get to do?
Listen and learn.
Oh, okay.
Now, we're here now to help, one, the local comic book shop.
Yes.
But two, also the patrons of the local comic book shop get ready for Christmas.
Right.
We like to give advice. So far, we've told them, I don't know what
we've told them so far. We talked about what to get for the comic collector that has everything.
Yeah.
We talked about what to get for the 8-year-old boy.
Yeah. We've talked to them about... You know, the gift certificate is the last resort.
Yes.
Because what you don't want to do on a Christmas morning is see a little plastic card.
Okay.
It's great, but you want to see the tangible item.
You're right. Okay, so here's my question for you this week.
All right, go ahead.
Should a comic collector give a list of comic books that's on their wish list to a prospective buyer of gifts for that person? So, say, for example, if your wife wanted to know what kind of comics you wanted to eventually own, and so you would give her a list of, hey, here's a short list of 30 different comics that I've been itching to die for, or maybe you want to fill in gaps, something like that.
Is that a good idea? No. I'm going to say no because if there's anybody that's anally particular, it's comic book collectors.
Right.
They're just nuts. They're like, you know, a little bit loose in the head sometimes with their collecting strains and their collecting pet peeves.
Yeah.
So first of all, you have to pretty well know that that person may not buy their back issue comics at their local comic book shop because the level of expertise at that particular local comic book shop may not be there for
okay,
things.
Fair enough.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So you know, you don't want to go there. And plus, you know, oh, that's nice, but it's got a dust shadow. Oh, man, my biggest pet peeve is a dust shadow.
Right.
You know, little things like that, right?
Okay, and that's fair.
You collect. We're particular about condition. We're particular about centering. We're particular about gloss. We're particular about everything, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So don't just give a list because then you're afraid. What often happens with lists is the person buying the list will overpay.
Right.
And the worst feeling is you know, because, okay, what'd you pay for this? Oh, sweetheart, I only paid $50. And the guy, you know, cringes because he could have bought it for $40.
Which
is nothing in terms of, if you went and bought a coat, Chris.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It's so stupid.
I know.
And anal, like, comic guys are. If you went and bought a coat for $50 and you found another one for $40, you go, ah, damn, man, I could have bought that for $10. And then you forget about
it.
But it's like, oh, you mean that? And you that stews with you for your life.
The fact that you overpaid
for that $10.
Yeah.
And it's just, see, it's too many complications.
It's not like you overpaid $100. It's just you overpaid $10.
Is this from experience?
I speak for many comic book collectors. We're very particular. We gotta think that we got a good deal.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, how many times have we worked at shows, guys, where it's a great book, it's a great price.
Yeah.
You may have even mispriced it.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't know, I'm just making up numbers here, but it's a $150 book easily anywhere else. You got yours for $100.
Yeah.
And buddy comes over and goes, I'll give you $95.
Yeah.
Man, I mispriced this. I go, well, you got $100 on, man. You gotta give me something.
Yeah.
No, I can't give you anything. I mispriced it. Well, I'm not buying it if it's full price. It's not full price. It's like, you know what I mean?
I know.
Don't worry.
It won't be full price. $120.
You always want a deal.
You always want a deal. So I wouldn't buy any collectibles for somebody else.
Not a collectible like that.
Yeah.
Not a collectible where condition and grading is involved.
And grading and stuff like that. Now, what you do is, you know, if they're a Captain America fan, you go out and buy an omnibus or a collection of great old
Or like a figure, an action figure, whatever you're going to do.
Like
yeah.
But,
right.
But listen, now, I know that the previews came out this week, right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, we really don't have a whole lot of time for that.
Oh, man.
We're running out of time here.
Oh, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? That previews is for January anyway.
Okay, so let's talk about previews next week.
Okay.
Because there's a couple things that I know that you want to talk about in the previews catalog. Unfortunately, we've just run out of time this week. We don't really have enough time.
Okay. We have enough time to reiterate to the listener that your local comic book shop is a great place to go.
Yes.
With your Christmas lists. Okay. And your local comic book shop is also a great resource of knowledge where you can, you know, ask questions and stuff like that. And that's one of the things the local comic book shop has over the big box
stores. Or the Indigos and all that stuff.
And they have that intricate knowledge of the medium.
Yep, agreed.
And of all the what are the periphery, like the other
the industry
kind of products?
They should have a lot of industry knowledge.
So we encourage everybody to go support their local comic book shop as always, but especially around Christmas time.
Yes. All right. Listen, unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. Comic Culture is produced by CFMU McMaster Radio.
No, actually, it's produced by Shecky Feldstein.
Oh, well, sorry.
It's engineered by Chris.
Yeah,
Owen.
Everyone creds on
me. At 93.3.
You know, without
CFMU,
them, we would not be here.
Right.
All right.
And without us, though, they would not be the number one radio
station.
That
is very true.
In Hamilton.
93.3 CFMU.
McMaster Radio. And please add your comments at comicbookdaily.com and listen to us at getthepointradio.com.
And please go out and support your local comic book retailer. Have yourself a great day.